Well, once again, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming today. I did want to let you know that we began our service, as you well know, if you were in the auditorium at that time, with the quartet and the four people that sang, all four of them, by the way, three of them are still teenagers, but all four of them cut their teeth singing downstairs in the Thrive Center. All of them were on the Thrive Band and sang downstairs at one time. And so that just shows you that that has worked marvelously, marvelously. And for those that might be visiting today, the Trudy Wilson Thrive Center is an auditorium that we built, oh my goodness, 6 or 7 years ago now. Time has gone by fast, just for our middle school and high school students. And on Sunday evenings, they have their own service, they have their own band, and these four young people. And I think the oldest one of all four is only like 22, 23. And so the other ones are still teenagers, but all of them had their start downstairs with the Thrive Band, and now look at the results. It is very difficult to do a cappella music. You know, some people call it Acapulco music, a little Christmas humor there. But it's very difficult to do that. Very difficult. And so they did a fantastic job. I'm going to share for a few moments, and then we're going to have some more music. Then I'm going to come back at the end, and then we're going to have a little bit more music. I mean, we're just getting started. And I'll tell you, I am so blessed because I've got to hear all these songs. This will be my third time. And I'll tell you, it gets better every time. It really does. They are just such wonderful, talented people. Well, we want to talk to you today, obviously, about a very important topic, and that is Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, what else could we possibly talk about today than the birth of Christ? You notice here that we see here we've got to go all the way back to the beginning. There we go. I'll take care of that, guys. All the way back to the beginning. We started where they started. The slides is for tomorrow night. But we're not there yet. We're still here. All right. We want to talk to you today about the gift that keeps on giving. There's a gift, by the way, that does that, and the gift is Jesus. Amen. Jesus just keeps on giving and giving and giving for all eternity. And I'm so glad that he does, aren't you, church? If you're a guest today, we want to especially welcome you at Cross Point Church. Today is a pretty typical service, except we don't do Christmas music. We do different kinds of music, but what you're seeing today is our typical music and the folks that sing for us every single week, and they do such a wonderful, wonderful job. So what I want to do is begin by reading The Birth of Christ. Now, for those of you that are part of our church and you've been coming, you know that we began a few weeks ago, actually five or six weeks ago, teaching verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And so we've already taught this in great detail, so we're not going to do that today, but I'm going to use this as a springboard, kind of a diving board, and then we're going to jump off into something else. But you'll see the connection here in just a moment. Well, let's look at these verses together. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And he considered this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means what, church? God? Very, very good. God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Let's talk about receiving gifts. Receiving gifts. You know, sometimes it's awkward, isn't it, to receive a gift? And our mind kind of goes into this mode of trying to figure out why this person gave us a gift. For example, what are the strings attached? I mean, what's the real reason they're giving me this gift? They must want something. Has that ever gone through your mind? I think it probably has. What about this one? Now they've given me a gift, so I've got to give them a gift. You know, it's kind of like your Christmas cards. You know, you send out all your Christmas cards, and then you get an obscure one from somebody. Like, why did they send me a Christmas card? So guess what you do? Thank you very much. You go find your Christmas cards, and hopefully you haven't sent them all out. And then you have to keep their address off their envelope because they're not on your list to send a Christmas card. And so you send it out, wanting them to think that they're on your list. That's what we do. Sometimes it's a gift, and we give a gift, we get a gift, and it's like, okay, I've got to go buy them a gift. Not that we don't want to buy them a gift. It's just we kind of wonder, what did we do to deserve it? And here's sometimes what we think. We don't deserve it. Because you see, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 talks about God giving us the gift of his son Jesus and how he was born to the Virgin Mary. And so all of this goes through our minds when we receive and give gifts. But let's talk about the gift of God, Jesus. Sometimes when we think about Jesus, we have, sadly, a picture painted that is not correct. And I want to share some of those things with you. When we think of receiving the gift of Jesus as our very own, sometimes we think about receiving it, but let's be honest. As the screen says, we might be affected by the way we've seen it displayed as it supposedly has been received by others. That can be challenging. Sometimes we've heard it explained in regards to Jesus that there, in fact, are strings attached. Sometimes we heard it wasn't really free. That you had to do this and not do this. And there's a litany and a list of things of do's and don'ts. Or we have to have this spiritual gift or proclaim a certain edict. And there's a lot of confusion about this gift. Is it possible for you today that you've never had the free gift properly explained to you? Maybe you never knew there was a free gift to begin with. Maybe you're here today for the very first time, or it's been a long, long time. Or maybe you're even part of Cross Point Church, but for whatever reason, the dots just haven't connected yet. And you're wondering, I didn't even know there really was a free gift called Jesus. I thought I had to come to church like every time the door was open and do this and do that. Is it possible that maybe the gift has never been explained properly to you? How do I appropriate this gift? Appropriate means to make something your own, to envelop it, to personalize it. I think that would be a good way to put it. How do I personalize, appropriate this gift of Jesus? You know, I got a gift the other day, and I appropriated it quite well. It was a Kit Kat bar. Yeah, you know, trust me, Kenny, I had no problem appropriating that. Now, and I knew what just to do with that. That gift didn't last very long. That gift did not go on and on and on, the gift that kept on giving. Not at all. I kept on eating until that gift was history. But God is different. Well, as we personalize this gift and make it our own, there are some key elements that we need to understand so we receive the gift properly and not improperly. And I want to share some of those things with you this morning. There's a guy who is known as the Secret Santa. And I want to talk to you about the Secret Santa. But before we talk about Larry Stewart and how we appropriate this gift, I'm going to ask two of my best friends, Gary and Deb, if they would come and each take two gifts. And we've done this every service. And I want them to go out in the audience and give those gifts away. I'm not even going to watch, pay attention. I can't anyway. The lights are out. But I want to tell you about Larry Stewart. Larry Stewart is a very fascinating guy. You may have heard of him over the years. But in 1971, he was in a restaurant in Houston, Mississippi. 1971, long, long time ago. And he was really down on his luck, struggling. He went into a restaurant knowing he didn't have any money. He orders breakfast, he eats the breakfast, the waitress comes over and gives him the bill, and he says, "I am so sorry, I forgot my wallet," knowing that he lied. The store owner, a guy by the name of Ted Horn, who owned this diner, by the way, it was called the Dixie Diner, and he came over to him and started talking to him, and he knew that he was lying, but he didn't say anything. And in fact, what he did is he reached in his pocket, unbeknownst to Larry Stewart. And as he was talking to Larry, he kind of let it fall down like that, and he was talking to Larry, and he looked down and he said, "Oh my goodness, Larry. Oh, looky here. You must have dropped this out of your pocket. This must be your $20 bill." Larry immediately knew that that wasn't the case. And he knew immediately what the owner of the restaurant had done. You see, that owner of that restaurant did not want to embarrass him. He wanted to help somebody that was down on their luck, as we say. He took that $20. He paid for his breakfast, and he took the change, and he left the restaurant. And when he left the restaurant, he said, "God," he made a vow to God. He said, "If you ever bless me, I promise you, I will help those that need it." Well, some time went on. On one particular instant, this was like around 1979, around Christmas time, he was at a drive-in restaurant. And as he was sitting there, you know, those are the ones where you drive in and speak to the box, and then somebody skates over, you know, and brings you your food. Boy, that'd be a tough job if you can't skate. I can skate, though, believe it or not. And the lady waited on him, and he could tell that she was really struggling, and it was cold outside. And he paid for his food, and he gave her a $20 bill. And he says, as he gave her the $20 bill, he could see her lips kind of tremble and the tears come down her face. And she said to him, "Sir, you will never know what this means to me." God began to bless Larry Stewart. He became actually very wealthy. He made his money in the cable television business and long-distance calling business. And he made a lot of money. In fact, you can look it up online, read all about it. I know you can because I printed it off myself. He gave away a lot of money around Christmas time, and he would find people on the street, sometimes just without knowing they had a need or not, he would just hand money out, but he would kind of look for people that he could kind of tell that might be struggling. And he would start handing out $100 bills, and over time, he became known as the Secret Santa. You may have heard about him before. Around 2006, the Secret Santa got esophageal cancer that actually claimed his life in 2007. And he came out public as the Secret Santa because a tabloid was going to come out. They had somehow found out who he was, and they were going to come out, and he wanted to come out before they came out and give the story the right way. He did that, by the way, on a program which some of you might be familiar with, the Dave Ramsey radio show, who still has a program on the air helping people to properly spend their money. During 9/11, he was there helping. He helped in Mississippi during Hurricane Katrina, 2005, when that hurricane just devastated that area. After his illness and he knew he was going to die, he began to recruit some other Secret Santas. And those Secret Santas used about $65,000 to $75,000 of their own money, and he trained them on how to be Secret Santas, obviously other people of means. But I appreciate the Secret Santa so much during the holiday season because he understood a couple of very important principles. When you've received something special, it's always wise to share something of equal value to others. And that's what we're doing this morning at Cross Point. Because many of us at Cross Point have received something very special. We've received the free gift of God. And we want to share that with you. So with that being said, as we think this morning about Christ and about this gift, as we read about in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, our introductory verses this morning, there's some important things that we need to really understand in order to receive this gift. In fact, it is crucially important that you understand what it means to appropriate, receive, personalize the gift that God gave. You know, there's something else about a gift. They call it a gift because it's not something that somebody has to do. It's a gift. And God did not have to give us a gift at Christmas, but aren't you glad that He did? I know I am. So in order to appropriate or receive this gift, what does it mean? Well, first of all, we have to understand our present condition, or if we personalize it, Jerry's present condition. And you can put your name in there as well. You see, King David, many, many years ago, wrote a lot of the Psalms. He didn't write all of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, but he wrote many of those Psalms. And in one of those Psalms, in Psalm 51, he talks about the understanding of his present condition in relation to God. And notice the verse on the screen. He says, "For I was born a sinner." The word sinner is kind of a harsh word, but it's a simple definition. It simply means to miss the mark. It means that we're not perfect. How many people are married this morning? Raise your hand if you're married. I can see a lot of hands. I don't have to explain to you that you're living with somebody that's not perfect, do I? I don't think so. And for those of you that aren't married but you have a job, let me just simplify it. If you have a relative, you know there's no one that's perfect. The reality of it is, David understood his condition when he was born with this understanding that he was a sinner, that he was not perfect. He had a disposition to, sadly, doing wrong. Bad thoughts, bad actions, just like you and just like me. I was born a sinner. Yea, from the moment my mother conceived me. It does not mean that he or anybody else was conceived out of wedlock. That's not the interpretation of the verse. That's not relevant at all. It means when a human being is conceived by a man and a woman, that person has a disease called sin. And when they are born with a disposition to do wrong. And every parent here knows that. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Christians in Rome, said, "For all have sinned." We've all missed the mark. Kind of gives you the word picture of somebody throwing darts, trying to hit the bullseye, or a bow and arrow, or trying to roll a bowling ball down a bowling lane to get that strike. We're all born imperfect. All of us. No one escapes. Something else we need to understand are not only our condition, but we have to understand to appropriate this gift, it comes, praise God, with no strings attached. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to proclaim or demonstrate any kind of spiritual giftedness. We don't have to be somebody that works at a homeless shelter or helps the poor. We don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to have a certain job. We don't have to have so many college degrees. No. There's no strings attached. God is the one that holds all the strings, and aren't we thankful? He offers us this free gift of His Son because our nature needs it. Necessitates it. There are no strings attached because there's nothing that I or you can do that would do anything to move God to accept what we could possibly say or do for Him, because we are imperfect and He is what? Perfect. No matter how good we might do, when God looks at that, He sees that as imperfect because we have something in us called sin that separates us from God. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. God saved you by His grace. That means His unmerited favor. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. And God saved you by His grace. Notice, when you believe, when you appropriate it, when you make it yours. And I like this next part. You cannot take credit for it. It's a gift. It's free. That gift's from God. Salvation is not a reward we get for doing something. Why? Because God knows that we would go out and tell everybody and boast about it and put it on our Facebook page or put it on Twitter. So God says, "I'm not going to give you the satisfaction." No, you can't earn it. At all. It's not a reward. It's a gift. God says, "I love the world so much." The Bible uses the world in three different ways. One is the cosmos. That's the physical earth. Right now, by the way, you may not know, if you're not really that familiar with science, that right now we're flying through the air and we're spinning. You said, "I thought that only happens on New Year's Eve." No? No? It actually is happening right now. We're flying through the air and we're spinning. But God keeps everything balanced. Amen. Not only will He do that physically, but He'll also do that in your life if you allow Him. He says, "For God so loved the world," the Apostle John wrote, not the physical world. Cosmos, no. The other world is the philosophy of the world. That's not what He's talking about. Let me reread the verse the way John's talking. "For God so loved people," there it is. "For God so loved the people of the world that He gave this gift, His only Son, that whoever believes," I am so glad I'm in the whoever, "in Him shall never perish. But get this now, that will have a life that keeps on giving for all eternity." That's what Jesus does for us. That's what that gift does for us. And I'm glad that it is. You know, this is great, my phone, because I'm supposed to speak 25 minutes, and it just beeped, and I'm not done. Classic Baptist preacher, right? Who needs a clock? But God loves people. I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad God loves you. We serve a great God, don't we? And then we can only receive this gift by faith, by trusting that Jesus is that gift. The gift, when he was an adult, Jesus himself said, and Jesus was somewhat inclusive, or one might say exclusive, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. There's no other way that we can receive this gift except through Christ. In John 3:17, God sent his Son into the world, that's the cosmos, as a person, not to judge the world, because you see, what did David say? I was conceived in. See, we already were judged. We already were guilty before God. But you see, God sent his Son not to judge us, but to save us. And notice what verse 18 says. Great verse. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's only Son. And then finally, we have to take it, don't we? You four people that receive that gift, there is something in the box, by the way. It's not April 1st. The first service in this building was 1973, April 1st. And if today would have been April 1st, we could have had a lot of fun with you by not putting anything in the box. But we can't do that today. There's a gift in there for you. And how are you going to receive that gift? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to open the box. And you're going to appropriate it and receive it. And that's what we have to do, isn't it, church? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And I love this other verse in Romans. Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will, not might be, not could be, but will be saved. You go, Pastor Jerry, you don't know my life. I don't need to know your life. God already knows your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you an everyone? Are you an anyone? You say, well, I'm a nobody. Then you're an everyone, nobody then. You're somebody. You're a special, listen, you are a special creation of God. And he loves you. And a little bit later on in the service, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you want to, only if you want to pray and receive the free gift of God. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us that gift. Lord, I just pray that you would bless every single family that is here today, and that, God, you would work in a powerful way in all of our lives. And, God, I just want to say as the pastor of Cross Point Church, thank you for loving us and for giving us that free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.